Welcome to the NC4 Podcast. We exist to know Christ and make him known. Discover the power of a connected life by listening to this message from God's Word.
Well, it is exciting to be with you today, and I don't know if all of you know us very well in the Battelle Ministry, although I think Ian brings it up a bit here and there. But I'm just going to show a few slides, and then we'll get into the Word. So we have that slideshow? Yeah, Battelle UK. So you can just sort of run through it. So we're in 19 countries at the moment. At some point, maybe we're hoping to get back to the U.S. and plant here again, which would be 20 next. We can just keep going. This is just some of the people before and after pictures of people, time and still with us. And you can just run through these kind of fast. Ethel's still working in Nottingham. And Alejandra was in Spain. And that's an amazing, she was in the dump, we call it. You know, she just was in this gypsy camp that, well, it was very desperate. And our people go in every day. And this is a woman that we met in India. Again, you'd barely know that was the same person. Totally transformed. And Pete was with us. He literally was living in a dumpster, or I don't know what you call it here, a dumpster, literally living in a dumpster. And the amazing story was he was about to get put into a big, you know what, crushing truck, right, with the dumpster. And he rolls out of that, and he stands up, and he sees this woman. And the woman said, "Peter?" And he said, "Well, who are you?" And he says, "I'm your sister." And they hadn't, makes me cry. They hadn't seen him for 7 years. And they thought he was dead. And God was so good. And he rolled out of that dumpster. She got him into Battelle. He stayed for many, many, many years, was a leader. And now they run their own ministry up towards Manchester. Oh, it's amazing. And Jacob, some of you have met Jacob. He helped with the Mukunji work. And so, he worked on the sanctuary with Paul a few years back. So Jacob's been here, and you know how amazing he is and how God has transformed him. And Dina came in very destroyed. Her husband was with us too. And now they are up in near Scotland. And she still visits Battelle. She's not in Battelle working anymore. And next is Allison, who's amazing, and she works up in Nottingham with us still. And Nikki has gone through Battelle, and she was working for the Postal Service last time we heard, and doing very well. So that's just some of our before and afters. And we've had about 14,000 entries into Battelle in the UK. We've been there almost 30 years now. It'll be 30 years in January. And I probably say it every time I come, but dear Andy, leading the worship, came with us 30 years ago. I'm aging our cool worship leader, but 30 years ago he came with us. So, you know, make the calculations there, but so we've been accredited. We had a study done, because we thought it was very good in terms of government officials and others that we visit to have an objective viewpoint and study on what we did. And this is what they came up with from people who'd left us from 2008 been with us from in that time period. 80% were still drug-free, 87%. 82% are in employment, 68% received no government funding, 84% remain in faith groups. How amazing. God is just so powerful. That's the power of God alone, okay? Alone, working in people's lives. And so that was amazing and encouraging for us to see. So next. And then also our savings to society. This is great to show government officials that we've saved them almost $500 million U.S. dollars. Because we take people off of benefit when they come in, we begin to teach them how to work, we run businesses, and so our hope, our goal, is first of all that they'll meet Christ and be transformed by the power of God, and secondly that they can be able to be a part of society and be able to work and get a job and be able to continue in church and be part of the community and really give back in a sense. And so that has been working. That's been good for those who stay and really at least stay for a year or more. And that's our new Anchor Point headquarters, which has been amazing. That was a 25-year dream of ours that was fulfilled, completed almost 2 years ago, completely full. And so it's still, to me, an absolute miracle. It is an absolute miracle building. I mean, God provided the building. I mean, we don't, you know, we just barely, as you can imagine, we raise most of the funds, about 85% of our operating costs we raise through the businesses that we run with the marginalized who come into us. And we're teaching them how to work and teaching them how to do this. And we were able to raise about 85%. So we don't have a lot of extra money, as you can imagine, lying around to build a building or to renovate a building, I should say. And God said, do it. God said, do it. And God gave us the building and gave us 8 million pounds. It should be about $10 million was donated to us to renovate that building. How amazing. That is, and it was, we just said, God said to do it. And so we did it. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the faith, but he gave us the gift of faith to do that, which I believe, honestly, I believe all of us can receive that kind of gift of faith, most definitely for anything God tells us to do. You don't have to have it already in you. We had no money in the bank. We didn't have that money in the bank. We didn't have anyone to give it to us at that point. We didn't know where it was going to come from. But when God speaks, there's power in his word, creative power to make it happen. Do you know that? And that's true for all of us. We're no one special. We're just ordinary people obeying God. Okay? And so I encourage you, listen to what God tells you. Listen. Don't be limited by your own giftings or your own resources. Don't be limited. Okay? Look to the heavens for provision for what God tells you to do. Amen? That's all of us, gang. That is all of us following Christ. Okay. So there's our cafe. We can run through these quickly. And our hair salon. And our soft play indoor play area for the kids. That's our main auditorium. And that's the dance studio. There's a concertina door that goes across there so we can separate these two rooms, and so we have a dance area, or we make that dance or theater space, a black box theater, which actually Ian helped us create when he was there. And here's Trish's team. This is our daughter, Trish, and this is our Infinite Arts team. So she's our creative pastor. Amazing. Just, you know, new ideas, new ways of sharing the gospel through the arts. And God using our creative skills to touch people's hearts in a way that other things can't, you know? And so this is part of that team, and they're coming to you. Let's see the next one. There's one of their productions that they did, and they are coming to you to do a Christmas carol. So yes, on Tuesday, November 25th, at 7 to 8:30. So please come out and support them. I'm sure Ian will be giving you more information as it gets closer. Yes, save that date, please. November 25th. And please come out and support the group. And see, now, well, you're also going to see in church some of their testimonies that they've written, they've dramatized and written, and you're going to see some of those the Sunday before that. So you'll see how incredibly gifted they are. And you won't be disappointed, honestly, if you go. And really, what a great expression of the gospel in that story that just does not get old, honestly. Okay, anything else? Well, you knew before, Prince William, our friend, he's come twice. That was, I think, a year and a half ago, so I think you know that already. But that was amazing. What a blessing. You know, that scripture where I'll take you from the ash heap to sit with princes. Amazing to see that happen in person. Amazing. And then we have internship program. And so if you're interested in that, you know, please go to the website. And, you know, people come for a month, 3 months, a year. It's different time periods. And I think that's, Yes. There was a documentary done by a very wonderful woman who sponsors us a lot on things. So she, all her own expense, did an amazing documentary that we're going to be putting out into the public soon. And it was put into a lot of festivals. One was the Cannes World Film Festival, and we were one of four nominees for first place in that. So that was pretty good for the Cannes Film Festival. So the amazing story of that is that the woman who did it comes from a Muslim background. She's not a Christian. And she came in and she saw what we were doing and she was so amazed that she decided to do this documentary. Didn't know what kind of angle she was going to, you know, do it from. But they stayed with us. She and her crew did everything with us for like 2 years they were filming. And as she was going on, she said, well, the only story I can tell here is a story about faith. She said, faith is what has changed these people's lives. And it's like, wow, what a testimony from a woman who didn't have a faith background herself, you know, that she saw the power of God and she said, I've got to speak about the power of God. And when she introduces it at the one premiere that we did, she said, I would just ask the audience, she said, I'm not a Christian, but I would just ask the audience to be open. She said, viewing these people for 2 years has made me open to faith. How about that? Like, she's been a great evangelist for us. It's like amazing. And so God is doing good things. And we're hoping this will influence some of the magistrates and, you know, the prisons to maybe send people to us instead of to prison. Because they don't have room for them in prison right now anyway. So you'll see, that's kind of what that story is about a little bit. So, I'm going to get to my preaching for today. We're talking about, you're learning the series, you're walking through the series of practicing the way. And so we want to talk about the scriptures, which is an amazing topic to have to talk about. Although, you know, you want to have hours to talk about it, don't you? And I would imagine in a group like this, we have anywhere from people who have faithfully read the Bible for years upon years, and maybe those who are new to the faith and maybe haven't read it even that much at all. And my hope is to inspire all of us in all of those groups with the power of the gospel afresh, maybe, this morning, okay? You know, I've been a Christian for 48 years, and honestly, it excited me in preparing this word. It gave me a fresh appreciation of what we have in our lives with the Bible. You know, in this time together, I want to intermingle what John Mark Comer is teaching in your study during the week, and also look at, you know, my own thoughts on that, and some illustrations or experiences from my own life. So we'll try to get that done. So first of all, begin with one of Mark Comer's quotes, which I have part of it on the screen. For he says, from the earliest days of the Jesus movement, all the way through church history, followers of Jesus have said in unison, Scripture is more than a well-curated collection of stories and poems and historical records. It's like a map to another world, like a portal to a whole other reality. What the Celtic Christians called a thin place. And if you enter it, it has the potential to change not just your life, but the world. Amen? You know, I love this description of how heaven touches earth in this thin place, right? Where we feel God so present, so tangible, that you feel like you can almost touch him, but not quite. That's what happens in that thin place. As we enter in, God's word impacts and transforms us deeply in that place, forming within the reality of what we would call his upside down kingdom. Not this kingdom, but his upside down kingdom. Totally different than what we're viewing in life, in just the world around us. We begin to see the whole world differently as we enter in to God's kingdom in his pages of the Bible, and his words that are in the pages of the Bible. The reality that this current world is not the only kingdom begins to become reality to us as we get into his word. You know, this is incredible. We begin to see the incredible supernatural power of the Bible. Honestly, supernatural power that we know that we never have to lose hope. No matter how bleak, no matter how desperate, no matter how chaotic things seem around us in this world, do you know where the perfect world is? Right here. And we've got it. And we've got hope all the time. How amazing is that? You know, things around us may seem threatening, but the Bible gives us peace. The answers aren't in this world. They're in this book about his eternal kingdom. Our true hope, Christians, is never in this world. Our true hope is never in this kingdom. Because as Christ followers, remember, we are citizens of heaven, aren't we? We're just sojourning, the Bible says. We're just, you know, walking through this earth for a small, like incredibly small period of time. And where's our home? Our home is with him, right? And so remembering that perspective, we got to get in here, don't we? To remember that perspective. You know, people like William Tyndale gave their lives so that we could read this Bible in our own language. Many others, martyrs over the centuries. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. I mean, would we give our lives for this Bible? Right? Would we give our lives? Do we think about the scriptures that seriously? That someone gave their life so that we could read it? Wow. I mean, that's how powerful. You know, can you imagine? You know, do we take the Bible that seriously? Or do we too often let it sit on a shelf? You know, there's such power in what God has given us. I mean, this is an instrument for radical change and transformation in our lives, right in our hands, right easily available to us. And my hope is that we would reconsider picking up this book, that we would reconsider how much time we spend with God in his word. And so I'm going to look at just three areas, the importance, the implementation, and some illustration. So the importance is, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 17 through 18, he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish it, but what? To fulfill it. For truly I tell you, until the heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter of this book not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Wow. Jesus is telling us the importance. He says, this book is permanent. The scriptures stand firm. So when everything else is shifting ground around us, right? These words stand firm. Praise God. This is why we live our lives based on what the Bible says, not the latest opinions or trends or tweets or whatever it might be, right? This is what we live by and for. This is what we live by. This is the book that will never change. Not all the, you know, latest trends shifting sand around us. So we need to be careful because this is what we need to anchor our lives in. This is what will sustain us. Jesus says that, you know, he's telling us that these are Christ-centered words. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Word of God. You know, this book is all about Jesus from beginning to end. It's all about us getting saved, getting back to Him, being reunited with our Creator. And they are authoritative. The Word sets the standard for our lives. If heaven and earth will pass away before God's Word does, then this is kind of important, isn't it? It is the ultimate guide for our lives and what we should believe and to find God's will. You know, the importance of the scriptures lies in the fact that Jesus himself read them, right? And so as a follower of Jesus, we need to follow the fact that he read the Bible. That's one of the things he did, and we need to do it also. Comer says that he says that his mind and imagination were steeped in the scriptures. Ours need to be steeped in the scriptures, don't we? For Jesus, there is a reciprocal relationship between the place of the scriptures in our lives and the level of our formation into kingdom people. Okay? We become kingdom people by knowing his word and being in his presence and hearing him and letting him transform us. So it's very important that we know God's word and let it impact our lives. So we need to respond. We need to implement this, right? We need to begin to read the Bible. So if we realize the scriptures are that important and that necessary and such a guideline for our lives, then we need to get into reading them regularly. Commit ourselves to reading them regularly. So how do we do that? You know, it's like, what should our approach be? Because I think sometimes, you know, people can get a little tired of it and feel like it's just you know, it's just a drudgery. It's a routine that's just part of my life. It's not doing anything. I'm just reading words. Well, that's because your approach is wrong, isn't it? It's certainly not about the Bible. It's got to be about us. And so maybe we need to reassess how we approach the Word of God. First of all, approaching it with incredible reverence, as I said, by realizing how people have given their lives that we might have that. Think about that. That's our, you know, inheritance from them. But also that, you know, we come with a posture of, first of all, that Jesus, like Ian was saying this morning, Jesus is with us. Like we come to those scriptures and we go, Lord, I know you're here and I know you're with me. And so guide me as I'm reading. Let me know your presence as I'm reading. And know that he's with us. That is so important because then when you read something, you know he's talking to you. He's talking to you. And that's a pretty special moment, isn't it? When Jesus is speaking to us. I mean, we've got to approach this knowing that he's going to speak to us. And he's going to be present. He's going to be right there with us as we do it. And I think coming to these scriptures humbly and saying, Lord, I want this to change me. Change me. You know, as we read things in the Bible, that we begin to obey them. Dallas Willard said, come to your chosen passage as to a place where you will have a holy meeting with God. You know, that need, our expectation needs to change. We need to come and expect, Lord, you're going to speak to me today. You're going to comfort me today. You're going to change something in me today. I'm coming to you and say, Lord, change me. Speak to my bad attitudes. Speak to my character that needs to change. Come humbly and say, Lord, change me with what I read today by your presence and change me. You know, pause and approach the Bible with that kind of heart and attitude. And you know what? And I would tell you, it will give you confidence. We need to have confidence in the fact that God's with us, in the fact that these are God-breathed words that are alive and living, in those facts. And therefore, when something is lit up to you, something speaks to you, that's God. Be confident. It's God. It's not you, because you've already decided Jesus is with you. You know Jesus is with you. You know this is God-breathed words. You know it's alive. And so know and be confident he's speaking to you. So you know what? If he is, I challenge you not to ignore him. To be fair, you can ignore me if you want, but don't ignore God. Don't ignore what God is saying. Like, take it to heart. We all need to take it to heart, right? Amen. And walk it out. You know, James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word, but what? And so deceive yourself. Don't just listen to it and deceive yourself, but what? Do, very simply, do what it says. Do what he tells you. No matter how risky, no matter how challenging, no matter how outside of the box, right? Do what he tells you to do. Do what he says. So some illustrations I would say from my own life. Just for me, you know, I've been reading the Bible for 48 years. It's a long time, but I could still, you know, I still feel like a novice, which is amazing because there's so much. That's why it's just so alive and living. But when I was 18 and became a Christian, I honestly felt so privileged to read the Bible myself, because I had only ever had the Bible read to me. And I thought it was kind of just for the priests. You know, it wasn't for us laymen, you know, at least this is me growing up. And wow, when I was 18 and I got a Bible in my own hands and began to read it, I thought, wow, you know, these words are for me. God is speaking to me personally. It's not just, you know, someone else speaking to me. It's God speaking to me through his words. I mean, I really was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. And that God would speak to me that way, so personally. So as I began this journey of knowing Jesus and reading him through his word, or reading of him, he truly did take me by the hand and begin to challenge me with my worldview and show me how to be more like him. So I know as followers of Christ that he is always by our side, leading us to the truth. We need to remember that. He never abandons us. So he's always there to lead us to the truth. So one of the first scriptures that majorly impacted me and has impacted my whole life as a Christian was Philippians 4:8. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, We got it? No. Okay. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, you know what? Think about those things. Wow. Is that a challenge for the rest of our lives, right? I mean, God just said, okay, do this. Wow. Okay, well, so for the rest of my life, I'm going to work on doing this, right? I mean, a great guide, you know, this created that lifelong challenge for me to remember at any time to think about God's kingdom, to think about God's character. When this world seems without hope, or for me, you know, at times when discouragement seemed to want to just consume me, I'd read these words. Wait a minute. I know there's something lovely and true and noble here, you know, and so I'm going to read that and remember that kingdom, you know, remember that kingdom. And then even the direction of my life, just saying, Lord, let us do what's noble. You know, what is the noble path you have for us? And we want to walk in it. And then as we progressed in Battelle, in the ministry God's called us to, by the way, we've been in Battelle and in the ministry for 35 years. So we've been abroad in Europe for 35 years. It's a long time. I forget sort of American things now, really. But, you know, there were many times as we were pioneering the work in the UK and establishing that, you know, where the pain, the pressure, the loneliness felt like it would just swallow me up. And you go, okay, what do we do about this, God? But God, you know, God always, 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 and I could tell you circumstance after circumstance, but he always made a way out. And a lot of times through his word, he would give me a word to stand on. And it brought life to me. So one of the words is from the book of Nehemiah is great, you know, encouragement for leadership. And so this is a time when God had, let's see, he told Nehemiah to begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, right? After the Babylonians destroyed them. And this was a great hour of renewal for the Israelites to reclaim their spiritual and national identity. It was a very exciting time. But as you can imagine, just like us at times, you know, when we're trying to save people, you know, out of despair in their lives, the enemy isn't real happy about it because he thought he had them, you know? And we go, no, you don't have them. You know, we want to rescue them for Christ, right? And so yeah, the enemy's not real happy about that kind of work. And he wasn't real happy about Nehemiah building this wall. And so these enemies just kept trying to stop him, right? And at this one point in Nehemiah 6:3, and I love this, he says, he said to them, he said to his enemy as they were badgering him to stop, he's like, I am not coming down from this work. I am doing a great thing and I will not come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? You know, and I spoke these words of life over myself over and over again. Enemy, I am not coming down to you. I am not going to stop what we're doing. No matter what. You know, because you're in it. You chose this. And we are not coming down to you, to your level. And wow. God, you know, through his word, this live word, he gave me courage. Lastly, as I see the band come up, in just the story of Jesus. Sorry, the woman at the well. We just talk about this briefly, okay? The woman at the well. What an incredible story to inspire us. So Jesus is walking through to Samaria, and he rests at a well at noon, right? And here's this woman that comes, who shouldn't be coming at noon anyway to get water. And Jesus speaks to her. First of all, he shouldn't have been speaking to her. She was a woman, and she was a Samaritan. So she was an enemy to the Jews. And he asked her to give him a drink. And, you know, she was so surprised that he would talk to her. You know, wow. And Jesus told her that if she knew who he was, she would ask him for living water. You know, a water that would not temporarily, you know, quench your thirst, but would quench your thirst for all eternity. She's like, wow, I don't really understand what you're talking about. But she said, listen, but when the Messiah comes, he'll explain all this. And he says to her, I am the Messiah. You know, like Jesus coming near to us and just going, I am your Savior. He comes near to all of us, no matter who we are and what we are. You know, he then went deeper with her and said, listen, I understand your life. You've had like five husbands and you're living with another guy now who's not even your husband. And she obviously was disgraced and marginalized, wasn't she? But Jesus went after her. Jesus went after her. And he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop. He revealed himself to them. And the contrast is when the disciples come, oh, she ran and she dropped her bucket, right? She drops her bucket and runs into town. When before she didn't even want to be seen by anybody, she runs into town and tells them about Jesus. And they come and see, and they say to him, you are the Savior of the world, not just of the Jews. This is the first time anybody said, you are the Savior of the world at this point. You know, like you've come to us, the Samaritans, your enemy who you should hate, but you don't. You love us. You love us. And you come to save us too. Anybody, all of us, none of us are left out. He wants to come and touch all of our lives. And see, you know, what he had to tell his disciples when they came back, they were so preoccupied about the food and the moment. He said, listen, guys, stop. You need to think about a different kingdom. He says to them, look up and see the harvest, right? Look up and see my kingdom. Look up and see my perspective on what's going on right now. This isn't about food. This isn't about a Samaritan I shouldn't be speaking to or a woman I should. This is about kingdom things, right? Come on, guys, look up. And boy, God challenges us today to begin to look up, because you know what? There is revival coming. We do need to be awakened as a church. But we don't want to look at it from the world's perspective, and we decide how that's going to happen and where it's going to come. And I mean, this revival happened in the most unlikely place with the most unlikely people, in a way that the disciples certainly would not have chosen. But God's telling them, look up. Look up, because there's kingdom things going on here. There's kingdom stuff going on right now that we need to open our eyes to and see where the harvest is that God wants us to touch and reach, that may be outside of our box. Wow, was this outside of the box, this whole thing? Right? So I would just encourage us. The Bible is powerful. Those words powerfully speak to us right now, right? We need to get in our word, know what he's saying, get into his presence, that we know that thin place where heaven is touching earth and we can feel the reality of eternity. And see, that gives us courage. That gives us courage. Lastly, I'll just say, E. Stanley Jones, who was a missionary, Methodist missionary, says, "Every day I go to these words and I ask them, have you seen the one who my soul loves? And the words take me by the hand and lead me beyond the words to him who is the word." Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to pray, Lord God, that you would help us right now to get into your word, to know how important the word of God is personally for our lives. And the Lord, that we would hear your word. We would hear you say, look up, look to kingdom things, look to the harvest that is ripe right in front of us if we would look up to the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the NC4 podcast. For more info, visit our website at nc4.org. We believe in the power of a connected life. If you prayed to give your life to Jesus today, we'd love to help you walk it out together. Just text the word Jesus to 610-816-6062.